Getting Zen with Gen Z. Empowering, motivating, and inspiring you to live your happiest, healthiest life. Hey everybody, welcome to another episode of Getting Zen with Gen Z. I am extremely excited for today's episode as over the phone lines, I have Stephanie Bell, who is a licensed clinical social worker. I know Stephanie because she was actually the therapist that helped myself and my ex-husband go through couples therapy and ultimately our divorce. So she was a great support and help for us. She's located in Northbrook, and she's joining us today to kind of help give a little bit of insight for people maybe going through some struggles in their relationships, going through divorce, and she'll talk about all the different specialties and people that she works with. So welcome, Stephanie, and thank you so much for taking the time out of your day to join me.
Thanks, Jen. I'm happy to be here.
And this is the first time we've really talked, I think, since I last saw you when I was coming in for therapy. As I was just saying off the recording, it'll be 3 years in January that I will be divorced.
Which is so crazy how quickly time goes.
It's so crazy. And I was just thinking about you. I was like, this would be such an amazing episode now that I have the opportunity for the podcast for, you know, I know how helpful you were to us. So to be able to have you help other people and give some insight, I think, you know, this is a fabulous way for you to be able to share. And, you know, you were definitely a savior for me at that time in my life.
Well,
so thank you.
I was very glad to help. And it also is helpful for you to see you and all the change that has happened in the past few years, because life is quite different for you now as well, in a lot of positive ways.
Yes, absolutely. It definitely is. And before we kind of get into, you know, some of your specialties, I want to know how long have you been a therapist, first of all?
Well, I've been in private practice for almost 10 years now, but I've been practicing as a social worker for longer than that.
Okay.
I started out working in a children's hospital at Children's Memorial in the city, and then ended up becoming certified to work in schools. So I was working
awesome.
In high school.
Yeah.
And I worked at a couple different high schools. One was De La Salle, was a Catholic school in the city. And then I did some training programs at New Trier, which is up here on the North Shore.
Yeah.
And then I also worked at North Lawndale College Prep. So I spent a number of years working in high schools. And I decided along the way that I wanted to try to get into private practice. And I did that in my practice. Sort of evolved. I started veering away from working primarily with adolescents and started working with both adults and still working some with adolescents, but mostly adults, individuals, and couples.
Okay.
And then I did some additional training in couples work because that is really such a specialized area, and I just felt like I needed some more focus and some more training on that.
So what made you choose this career path?
You know, I mean, it sounds a little cliche to say I always knew I wanted to do this, but I have to admit that I had an About Me book that my parents bought me a long time ago when I must have been 5 or 6. And even then, even though I did not even know what it meant or how to spell it, because I definitely did not, I wrote, what do you want to be when you grow up? I said, a psychiatrist.
Oh my gosh, really?
Sort of crazy and interesting.
Yeah.
But I do think that I always knew I wanted to be in a helping profession in some capacity. I don't think I always knew what that was going to be. In college, I went to college at Emory University in Atlanta, and at that point, I majored in psychology, so I was starting to sort of narrow my focus, and then I just continued on that path and went to graduate school in Boston and then in Chicago, and just continued on with my licensed clinical social work degree.
Wow. I mean, so you definitely knew your purpose in life, your path.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, a very wise 5-year-old, right?
I mean, that's amazing. I love it. That's an awesome story. Well, you've, I'm sure, helped so many people over the years. And I want to talk about a little bit the fact I think therapy is an amazing thing. And I think everybody should be able to go to therapy. But there is, I think, a little bit of a stigma around it. And I don't know if it's because of, you know, talking about your emotions or opening up or, you know, and I don't like the term, but, you know, people think, oh, if, you know, you're crazy, you have to go to therapy. You know, it's, mm-hmm. I think there's just this stigma that, you know, people look at it in a negative way. Me, you know, myself, it's been an incredible tool. And I think for everybody, you know, if you're struggling through something or not, I think it's something that's important to be able to kind of have a check-in and have this relationship with somebody that's kind of outside of your world a little bit, that's a little more detached, that can really kind of help offer guidance with whatever you're going through. But how do you kind of break that stigma a little bit when talking to other people who might be a little hesitant towards it?
Well, the clients who are coming in, I don't necessarily have that concern as much. Mm-hmm. They're not as worried about the stigma. And I'd like to say that it's decreased over the years, right? There's mm-hmm. not as much stigma as there used to be. Certainly, I think there are many people who do still think if you're going to therapy, and I'm going to use the word too, then you must be crazy. Mm-hmm. And that's just not the case.
Yeah.
You know, my clients are really healthy. Mm-hmm. I mean, my clients are you, right?
Right, right.
I have really, really healthy, and I'm going to use this word too, and I don't like it, but I'll put quotes around it. It'll make me feel better. Normal clients. Uh-huh. I have very, you know, I see people who are me, essentially. Right. So I think I just have, if it does come up, I just have dialogue with people around it. And I do communicate that I might just as likely to get therapy as the next person. And I have been in therapy.
Mm-hmm. That's a great, I think, conversation to have, just because you definitely seem easier than to relate to. You know, I think it's a healthy, like you said, you know, a lot of your clients are in a very healthy place, but I think it's a very healthy and, I don't want to say responsible thing to do, but, you know, I think using that tool can really just help you internally and mentally and kind of give you a little more clarity onto what kind of path or decisions you might need to make in your life.
Absolutely. It's just an additional tool. Mm-hmm. And honestly, there are many ways to get some counseling. If you're not comfortable going to a psychologist's office or a licensed clinical social worker, you can try to go through a school for your kids or through a church or a temple. There are many ways where it could feel more comfortable. And obviously, with people who have maybe more serious issues and need more intensive care, mm-hmm. you're not going to be taking those avenues. But there are many resources out there to have a space where you can get some extra support when needed.
Right. And as kind of talking about that with resources, you know, I know that as much as I would love for everybody to be able to just go to therapy as even like a maintenance for themselves. Right. But I know, you know, if you may not have insurance or the, you know, services may not be covered on the insurance and it could be a little bit more pricier out of the range of the budget. What are there a lot of places that people can go, or do you work with clients, you know, on payment plans or things like that? Because, you know, I know we want to be able to kind of give people resources of where they can go or that know that it is possible to be able to seek this, you know, guidance, even if they might not be in the financial place to do so.
Right. And, you know, there are a lot of therapists who offer sliding scales, and it's just a matter of if that sliding scale is even doable at that point. There's also places where you, some agencies, clinics, where you can work with students and students who are trained and training.
Oh, yeah. So okay.
Still have the skills, but may have also a lower fee.
Okay.
Again, going potentially to a church or a temple, that they could potentially be able to offer some support at lower fees. But if you're specifically looking for more of a clinician, I would try to connect with somebody who does have a sliding fee if finances are an issue and if insurance isn't available.
Okay, excellent. And, you know, as far as that too, I know you specialize pretty much in individual couples, and you do some young adults, like you were saying, but you think your niche is a little bit more with the couples therapy?
My niche is definitely relationship work. I mean, I do a lot of transition work with people, and divorce certainly is a biggie that falls under that umbrella.
Right.
But I do a lot of work with people who are ending a relationship, who are having relationship issues or changes in their job, kids going to college. So transition generally, but relationships definitely.
Okay. Well, that's, you know, I didn't even think about that too. When I think of like relationships and, you know, transitions, I'm thinking of like a couple, but having those life changes of, you know, kids going off to school and, you know, that kind of relationship, I'm sure that's a very difficult transition as well.
Yeah, I mean, having a baby, getting a new job, or even a lot of the positive changes that happen in our lives can be very, very stressful. And it's just helpful to have that sort of like what you were talking about, that person outside of your world to help you navigate the difficult waters.
Oh, definitely. I mean, I think too, you know, before I, before we found you, and I don't even remember exactly how it was, if I just ended up looking online. But, you know, as many people, listeners may or may not know, you know, I was married almost 5 years. And, like I had just stated, I've been divorced almost three, but, you know, I never regret the relationship that I was in. And Michael, my ex, and I are still actually very close. I pretty much feel like it's like a brother sister relationship, which might sound kind of, you know, interesting to people, but we were definitely meant to be in each other's lives. I just don't think to that capacity as, you know, partners in life. And, you know, at first I was really struggling because I definitely am the type of person that wants to make everybody else happy and put, you know, smile on my face. And I've always, you know, been very positive, but I wanted to kind of, you know, just be the strong one for everyone else. And I ended up going to a therapist on my own individually without anybody knowing because I needed that outside, you know, outlet. And I think I needed to know for myself that all the emotions I was going through were valid and that I wasn't, that word again, crazy, just because of the things I was experiencing. And I think that gave me, once I knew that, that gave me the confidence, to be like, look, you know, after communicating several times, we need to go see somebody, you know, we need to see somebody together, to kind of work through some of these issues. And we had tried someone else before we went to you and it just wasn't the right fit. And then we found you and, you know, that was, I mean, that was the fit right there. We were both very, found you very easy to talk to and open up to, which was definitely important. But it does take
I was going to say, I wonder if it's helpful for you to describe like what didn't feel like the right fit and what does.
Yes,
it is very important.
And that's what I was just going to segue into. I think sometimes people might go, and this is with anything, not necessarily just a therapist, but this is obviously a very open communication, open dialogue. You want to feel comfortable with the person that you're talking to. And I'm sure, you know, people can have a bad experience and then think, you know what, I didn't like this experience, I'm not going to go back. But I think, you know, you have to find the right fit and connection. And for it, I think the first time we went, it was more so, Michael that was a little more uncomfortable, but I could tell, you know, I feel, I don't want to say there was a little more, we couldn't be as open. I don't know if there was some judgment or there was just an energy that didn't feel right. You know, and we didn't feel like we could open up as much. And there wasn't as much, I'd say, positive feedback or tools, I'd say, to kind of work on, you know, at home and get through this. So I think, when we found you, that was kind of an opposite situation. And we were both very comfortable, and you kind of set it up perfectly where we were both able to kind of express what we needed to and in a safe place. And, you know, ultimately, I think I needed that person there to be able to express my emotion because I was not able to do that on my own, which I think probably a lot of people experience. But I really, I like that you also met with us individually. And then kind of brought us back together.
Not all couples therapists do that.
Yeah, and that's what I kind of want to touch on too, is how are you different? What is your, how is your approach a little bit different from other people?
Well, it's, so I'm trained in the Gottman method, and one of the things that they encourage therapists to do who are trained under their method is to meet with a couple initially together and then to separate them and meet individually and then to come back together. And really, a lot of that is so that you can do a really thorough assessment as to where the couple is, what their history is, and where they're at individually. Because when they're in session together, they may not be entirely comfortable, especially if one person, if we're talking about a potential divorce situation, if one person is in more of a space where they're wanting to move forward with it and one is not, there may not be the comfort there to talk about it initially.
Right.
So it really helps to give a clearer picture to see people individually, at least initially. I then primarily work with the couple together. I can't remember if I worked with you and Michael individually again. But there are times when I may feel stuck when working with a couple and not feeling like we're getting the movement or traction that I might hope for them. And at that point, I might then say, let's separate again. Let's see each other individually and see if I can process things a little bit differently, separately,
right,
to get things moving and unstuck.
I think
so
we,
you know, it's a little bit of a science. It's a little bit of art.
Yeah, absolutely. Definitely. Well, I mean, I think in everybody's, every situation and every couple and individual is so different.
Yes.
But I think that does give you a little bit of a clearer view. And I think we might have met separately again, or at least I think I did, because it, I mean, it can be very uncomfortable talking about these feelings that you're having towards somebody and telling them that in the same room. I mean, I can imagine, you know, even as comfortable as you made it, it's a very emotional thing, you know, I think for people to go through, especially if one person is, you know, questioning more so being in the relationship anymore or not. So I think those are very hard conversations, and that's why it's great that you obviously have somebody there to support and guide you through.
Right.
And
no, you're right.
And I think one of the biggest things that I found was that I needed, I needed you to be able to say the word divorce and, you know, to kind of have someone there. You know, I think that's a hard thing to come to. And, you know, especially when couples have been trying so much or working hard and trying to go through the relationship. I know things can ebb and flow, but, when you, I just think sometimes you know in your gut when it's time to move on. And, you know, coming to terms with that and then having to say it and express it, I think is a little bit difficult. So sure. I thank
it's
you.
It's a lot scary.
It's very scary. I mean, that opens up. I feel like once that kind of comes out, that's, you know, the start of change right there.
Mm-hmm. No, it takes things in a different direction.
Definitely. Sure. But, you know, I thank you so much for being there for me through that moment. And for us, oh. You know, it just, like I said, you know, we were really able to, and I know it's not always the case, but, you know, I got married because I did love Michael, and it's definitely evolved into a different space, but I'm glad that we can still have a relationship, because I always did care about him, it, you know, and it didn't mean that I didn't, anymore. It just changed. So I'm grateful that we're able to still have, you know, a great relationship now, and we're both living happy lives, you know?
It's so nice that you have a good outcome. I mean, like you said, that's not always the case. But I also think it was how you managed the end of the relationship as well, because if you handled that differently, who knows if the outcome would be the same in terms of your relationship. I mean, you were both very mindful of each other and respectful and caring about each other still. So it does impact the outcome in terms of how you manage ending the relationship.
Yes, definitely. You know, and I just think sometimes you come to a natural place when you're just so aware of how you're feeling, and you kind of know that you can't go on like that any longer. You know, that there needs to be some change, and you know, kind of rewind, when I did end up going to see, you know, that first therapist on my own, I had a physical breakdown. I mean, I was like, I just can't physically do this anymore. So it was like, that was my sign where I kind of knew, I'm like, okay, I need to be proactive. Like, he's not listening to, you know, what I'm saying right now. We're both having this block and this barrier, and I need to kind of step back and get some help on my own to kind of get that courage and figure out steps of what we could do together, you know, to move forward. So
absolutely.
Yeah. But I want you to share obviously we talked about opening up and how having someone there to help kind of walk through that is great. But what are some of the benefits to people of therapy in general?
Well, obviously it depends on exactly what they're going through and what they're needing. But I do think it often helps people gain different perspectives. You can get so stuck in your, where you are emotionally. It's really hard to shift perspective, which is sometimes really helpful. Obviously, just processing emotions, we've sort of touched on that. Letting go of some of the negativity that's weighing you down. If we're talking about divorce specifically, it can help you communicate better with your ex or soon-to-be ex, potentially to minimize just the hostility. I mean, we sort of touched on that, too.
Absolutely, yes.
I would say that's a biggie. You know, just to be more optimistic, like having an outside person and staying to process all these things, help you go through some of the emotional process. Somewhere along the way, hopefully, you will feel more optimistic that things will be okay and that you're okay.
I was going to say, I think you definitely, it was like, no matter how rough and emotional things were, like, you gave us that sense. I can speak for myself, at least, that I knew things were going to be okay. Like, I had you there, and
really important
as a guidance. I was like, okay, like, I know this is going to be okay. I have this person, you know, that kind of has my back, is a supportive, you know, person. But it was like, you know, I know things will work out.
Right. And when you don't have that, that's really scary. I mean, like we said, there's so much fear around divorce and what comes with that. And so not to have some part of you feel optimistic about your future mm-hmm. is such a barrier sometimes.
Oh, absolutely.
And if you get nothing else out of therapy, hopefully you will get that you will be okay after this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because there's so many. I mean, I and we didn't have kids, which, you know, I think adds a whole other layer, you know, for divorce. But and just taking in other emotions as well of those other people into consideration, you know, but I think there's so many different fears and how things can play out. So having that person kind of walk you through that, or at least, you know, be like, listen, things are going to be okay. We're going to get through this. And this is what we're going to do, you know, have a little bit of a plan of action. But when do you think it's important, or when it's time for people to maybe go to therapy or go to couples therapy?
It's such a hard question. I want to say immediately.
Yes.
I know, why would you ask that?
As soon as
you are able.
Okay.
You know, a lot of people wait a long time or longer than they should. I want to say, and I haven't looked it up recently. At one point they said couples wait 7 years too long. So by the time enter your office, things have been bad for at least 7 years.
Holy
cow. So you can imagine, right, if you're waiting that long, there's more anger there. There's more pain, more hurt, more resentment. And then it's harder to repair that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, that's a lot of years of baggage.
It's a lot of years, and it's tough.
Mm-hmm.
So if you do recognize that you and your partner are feeling really stuck, the sooner that you can get into therapy, the better. And I know that's like a vague answer, but certainly not to sit on it for years and years.
Mm-hmm. I think people think they can just work through things on their own, or you know, things will get better, or that's just, you know, that kind of mentality. But it's like time goes by really, really fast. And, you know, I think people sometimes get, I don't know if they get comfortable, but, you know, content kind of in their situation, I guess, where they don't want to stir up change or have to go through, you know, putting in the work, going through therapy, talking about everything. I feel like there's, you know, I think sometimes maybe Michael would still, you know, be married if I wasn't kind of pushing for the, you know, therapy and us talking about stuff and trying to, you know, fix or change things. But I think, mm-hmm. do you think it's just kind of in the personality of the person where they might not be as motivated to fix it, or one partner's a little bit more motivated than the other to want that change?
I mean, I certainly, motivation could be part of it, but I, even more than that, I just think it seems really daunting to people. Mm-hmm. You know, it feels intimidating to go into an office and sort of share all your baggage.
Right.
With this person. And it feels scary to have to do that. I'm using that word a lot, but to be vulnerable and to get vulnerable with your partner when walls may be built up doesn't seem like that much fun. And when life is busy,
yes,
and everyone's working and you have the kids, it's real easy. And certainly, you know, this is true even without kids, but I'm more painting the picture. When life gets really busy and you're all over the place, it would be easy to say, you know what? We just don't have the time right now.
Right.
Let's just sort of ride this out.
Mm-hmm. And then you have all these years that kind of go on.
And it sort of becomes your norm, and you accept where you're at. And for many reasons, you stay in it. Not that you shouldn't stay in it, but there's opportunities to try and repair some of the negative patterns mm-hmm. before things get really bad.
Right.
And it's just going for it before 7 years have gone by.
Yeah. Well, and I think, you know, kind of accepting that as like the norm, or what, you know, whatever it may be, busy lives. I think people chalk that up, you know, as like, oh, this is just a normal, regular thing. You know, but I think too, one of the struggles I had was, is justifiable for me to just not be happy, because there was nothing actually where, you know, I'm sure you see people who have, you know, there's been cheating or, you know, abuse or whatever it may be the reason. But I think people understanding that if you're not happy, you know, that's just as much a reason. Like that's something that is definitely, that you'd want to change, that it's okay to talk about that and address that.
Absolutely. And this is, look, we have our one life to live.
Yeah, definitely. I think people are always just trying to find reasons of, well, he's, you know, and I know that when I went through that in my head, he's not doing this or that, but, you know, there's this and I'm not happy with this. It's just that kind of, you know, if you're ever feeling like that, any emotion in that place is definitely valid. I think is
absolutely
the point.
Absolutely. There doesn't need to be anything, you know, major right, happening to justify it. It could just be that you've grown apart mm-hmm. in a number of years that you've been together and you're just not connecting.
Right. Right. For sure. And if that's a kind of a situation that happens too, do you have, of course, we know if people can get in and come see you, come see, you know, any professional to kind of work through and talk through their, you know, problems they may be having or struggles. Are there tips that you give your couples to kind of work on at home or for people that are listening that might be going through a difficult relationship right now? Things is some helpful tips that they can kind of use to work on at home with their partner or for themselves as well.
Right. You know, I think one of the first things we work on is the language that is used in the house and how couples are communicating. When there's a lot of criticism or contempt, and that's how people are expressing their needs, it could be really damaging mm-hmm. and it keeps couples really stuck. So instead of saying, you know, why can't you do the dishes every day? You're really lazy. Could you say, hey, it'd be really helpful if you do the dishes later?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It just sounds like a real small thing,
uh-huh.
but that's one of the first things we work on is language.
I mean, that makes sense. When you hear that kind of negative connotation over and over again, I'm sure that you build up a lot of resent and anger. So just changing that to a little bit more of a positive language is probably a lot better.
Right. Stating a positive need versus a put down.
Mm-hmm.
You know, spending time together. You'd be shocked at how many couples are sort of expecting for things to get better who are not spending any time together, who are not going on a date, who are not literally not carving any time out in their week mm-hmm. to be together. It's a real tricky thing because when I'm working with couples, I'm trying to help them manage conflict at the same time as building their friendship and intimacy. So
oh,
it
yeah.
almost seems
that
like a paradox.
Uh-huh.
Right. But you almost can't do one without the other. It's really hard to help resolve the conflict without the positive interactions and connections.
Right. Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I can see that as being a little bit of a challenge, but you have to grow back together. You have to like spend time together and kind of realize why you guys maybe got together in the first place.
Right. And create the opportunity for it.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, it sounds trite for me to say go on a date, but it is one of the things that I encourage couples to do is to spend some time together. You know, when there is a great deal of anger and resentment and conflict, I definitely would go back to what you said and get in with the therapist sooner than later.
Mm-hmm. For
you know,
sure.
Don't try not to wait on it.
Yeah. Well, and I think it's hard, you know, you're so involved in the situation, you know, like we talked about before, just having somebody that's detached and that's an outside person, they can usually view things a little bit differently and give more of that insight and helpful tips to kind of, you know, guide you through. And I think really being able to, something you taught us too, is really being able to listen to each other. listen, mm-hmm. you know, to what each of us was saying and hear it clearly. And if we weren't understanding that, you know, you did a very good job of kind of breaking it down for each of us to understand.
Right. Well, look at everybody wants to feel understood. Mm-hmm. And so it's really hard to feel understood if you're both communicating in a way that's really negative. Mm-hmm. One person might stonewall, the other person might get defensive, and then no one gets what they want, which is, again, to feel heard and understood.
Right.
So if you can, and I think that's to bring me back to the language, if you can start softening how you communicate with one another, you're going to have a greater chance of feeling heard and understood.
Absolutely. And yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, that's all people really, I mean, that's one of the big things people want.
Absolutely. I mean, especially from your partner.
Yes, definitely.
I mean, I'd like my son to understand it too sometimes. He ignores me most of the time, but that would be a whole other podcast.
That's a whole other podcast that we can maybe get to one day soon. I'm sure people would find that very helpful. Is there, I know I'm trying to keep very conscious of time because I know you have a client, a patient coming in soon, but is there anything else that you want to add before we kind of wrap up and give people your information?
No, you know what I would add for the individuals within the couple, and I know you'll agree with this, mm-hmm. is to really also focus on self-care, to make sure that you're doing a really good job taking care of yourself so that you can be a better partner, but also just feel happier within yourself mm-hmm. and your health and your mind and all of it.
That is so important. I mean, I'm such a huge advocate of that. And I had written a blog a long time ago talking about is self-care selfish? And it's, you know, and a lot of people kind of have that perspective, unfortunately. But, you know, if you can't take care of yourself, you can't be strong enough mentally and physically to help take care of other people. But it's being content with you and loving yourself, I think, to be able mm-hmm. to give that love to your partner or other people, you know, in your life, for sure.
Absolutely.
So where can people find you?
So I'm located in Northbrook. And you can find my website at StephanieBellLCSW.com.
And there's
my email is on there, I believe.
Perfect. What is it, just in case?
It is, I should know this. I want to say, because I have a personal email and a professional email, I want to say it's, so for my name is spelled with an S. It's S-T-E-F. A-N-I-E. I want to say it's... I don't want to tell you because I might get it wrong.
It should be. Well, I'm almost positive it's on the website, I'm sure.
I'm almost positive, too.
There's got to be an email and phone number, I'm sure, to contact.
Yes. There is a way to contact me.
There is a way. but I so appreciate you being able to take the time... you know, to have this conversation and to kind of, you know, give us a little more insight on therapy and the work that you do. And like I said, you know, it was great for me to just be able to get to connect with you again, but I'm so grateful for all of your help, you know, and support because it definitely got me through a very difficult time in my life. So I appreciate that more than you know. So thank you so much.
Well, thank you so much.
Of course. And if you guys, listeners, have any other questions or topics that you want to hear more info about, you can go to my Facebook page and shoot me a message at Getting Zen with Jen Z. I'll talk to you guys soon. Thanks. Bye.